Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to the weekly conversation. I'm the man with the mic, Kyle. Welcome to the conversation that I believe and I hope you're a part of. This week on the conversation, what is up with the DNC as far as chairman options? Does the DNC even have, or the Democrats in general, even have a unified message, or what do they stand for? Keith Ellis is a potential candidate. Howard Dean and Martin O'Malley are three top names that are being considered for the DNC chairman position. Also, a scary fact, 8 out of 10 college students surveyed admit to starving themselves or making themselves throw up to make room for alcohol in an effort to get drunk faster and also cut calories at the same time. And some other things that are pretty creepy out there that I'll get into. Where's this world coming to? The public editor of the New York Times has said that the number of complaints about this election and the bias between Trump and Clinton was 5 times. Bias alert, really? New York Times biased? That can't be. I'll get into that. Also, Mohammed Rashik Najad is actually a 35-year-old man from Brooklyn that's been arrested. And he's been charged with trying to plot terror attacks on the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. There's still terror warnings out there where they're afraid that someone's going to have like a rental van and full of explosives and go through the street, mowing people over. And so they're putting like big time warnings out for that. Also, 40 years ago on Monday, Rocky came out for the first time. Hard to believe, the 21st of this month, 40 years ago, Rocky. I can't think of Rocky without thinking of that Mr. Mom movie where like they're talking about Rocky and right before it, they go, he goes up and he gets fired and then becomes the mom, who's the dad and all that. And also today in the record books, the NASDAQ closed at over $1,900. I call it dollars. You know what I mean. That and plenty more. So stick around for the conversation that I hope you're a part of. The verse of the day, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And I want to thank y'all for tuning in from wherever you're listening, whether it's New York, LA, or my wife who is in Albion, Michigan. I'll be in Michigan visiting family and I have to work. So she's listening from afar and I'm in the studio getting the job done. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I want to get off into this really fast. I got my birthday gift already. At least one small gift. Yeah. We don't really do much for each other, me and my wife. And when a good friend of mine died, he always encouraged me to try to do something. You know, because I play like 55 million drums. And he goes, you know, clarinet, flute, you know, whatever. Saxophone, bass, keyboard, whatever. Pick up an instrument. And so I made a guitar, a Gibson style guitar in his honor. And I had trouble when I couldn't, it just wasn't right. I couldn't with the truss rod, I couldn't get it to work. So I brought it into him. And if you live in Lafayette, Indiana, or in Indiana in general, go to McGuire Music, they're great. I took it into BJ and I said, this is, you know, I played drums since like 85, got my first set at Weiss Music, and you know, I wanted to branch out and do something else, and I learned the guitar, and I built this as a way to learn. And he goes, that's pretty cool. And he goes, and he looked at it in about 2 minutes. He goes, more than likely, I'm going to have to take the nut at the end where the strings go through right after the tuners. Yeah, the tuners, then the strings go through the nut, and then they go down the fretboard, and they go to the bridge over the pickups or humbuckers. And he goes, I'm more than likely going to have to shave that down. That's why you couldn't figure it out, because I'm probably going to have to shave that down. I can pretty much probably get this thing really close to the frets, and I should have this thing playing great. And he's going to clean it up and oil it up for me, you know, hydrate it. He's going to go through and check my electronics, which work. He's just going to double check them to make sure, you know, if there's anything he can do to get it going better, he's going to do it. And they're a great company. And it's something my wife didn't know where to take it or what to do. And she goes, this is what I want to do for Christmas for you. So God bless you. Thank you, honey, for being the greatest wife ever, you know. So it was a fun project. Because, like, I want, like, one of my friends who's Tony Amora, he's an African drummer and stuff. And he's like, well, to become a professional musician in Africa, they believe you have to make your own instrument. And I always wanted to make my own djembe, but those are basically a kit. And I'm like, I can already put heads on djembes. I can already do almost, if you have a problem with a djembe, hook me up. I can probably fix it for you. But I don't have the ability or the time or the resources to find a piece of wood, you know, that I could actually carve the goblet shape out to do the djembe. So I'm like, ah. And this came about. So it was for $140, like I told BJ, I said, for $140 to my door, we're not expecting to get a 1959 Burst, but it's a fun thing. But on to this. I want to get into this first because this just sickened me. A recent study showed that 8 out of 10 college students like binge. You know, they either like go without, they either like eat something and then, oh crap, I ate, so they throw up, or they don't eat at all so that they can have an empty stomach so they can go out and drink and get drunk really fast and also save calories so they're not getting fat. That's scary. I mean, if you want to do that, folks, all you have to do is just take a little syringe, put like two or three cc's of liquor, go right into your vein, and you'll be so drunk because it's processed, it's unpurified, hasn't gone through the body yet. It's unrefined. You'll be so drunk so fast, an airline bottle last you for a couple months. I don't understand these people. Well, I've had problems with my amp, and I might see if McGuire can look at that to see, because I think a pod's out, but I got one of those air sprayer things. And what they do is they, you know, you go back behind the knobs and you spray and it gets out the dust and it makes them work better. There's a warning on there. Do not aerosol. Do not do the aerosol. They put, you know, do not inhale this. And they actually have bitter tasting stuff in there so that it deters people from aerosoling. Because I was watching Intervention and there's a guy that's, and he's getting messed up on those aerosol things. I'm like, what is this world coming to? Because all he needs to do is get some air into his blood vessel and he can have like a aneurysm or whatever, like a clot and stuff, and he can kill himself. There was a girl that was at a party one time with friends and they were sucking helium right out of a balloon time tank and died. Common sense, folks. I watched a video one time where a guy did like six different gases and he goes, this is what it sounds like. And he sucked helium and he goes, this is what your voice sounds like. And then he went through all these ones that would change the voice and just did a little bit so you could hear. And like one was like, made your voice really low, you know, and he's like, don't do this. I'm just demonstrating this. You know, I know what the heck I'm doing. I'm a chemistry professor. I know what these things are and stuff, but I don't understand these people these days. And, you know, granted, when I was in college, I was still trying to figure out who I was. You know, in college, you always do dumb stuff, but we didn't sit there and we would eat pizza so we could have something in our stomach so we could absorb the alcohol and have 3 or 4 drinks. Not now, when they're trying to starve themselves so they can get wasted faster. And there's actually a name for it. It's called Drunkorexia. Welcome to Drunkorexia Anonymous. Yeah, I'm going to actually start at our house. We're going to have like OCD Anonymous at my house. And hopefully when the people come over, they clean. Might work, but I don't understand these. It's like, I mean, pretty soon they'll have like names for everything, you know? I don't understand this world. I guess I'm a problem solver now. You know, we always did the exact opposite so we could drink more. We ate food. I don't get it. And we didn't really drink that much anyways. Oh, well. People, this country hasn't changed. The heck it hasn't. We've gone from a world where we used to eat food. See, it has changed. When I grew up, it was not, that's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. In the 80s, Ronald Reagan's like, you know, do something. Don't just wait for the government to do it. The government is the problem, not the solution. We ate so we could have alcohol in our system and not be obliterated. Now, they want everything given to them. They don't want to eat so they can get drunk faster. It's the exact opposite. Well, I don't know if you heard about this. Well, there's evidence out there that Trump has come out and said that I'm not going to go after Hillary Clinton and la, 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 la. And everyone's all got their, what are they called, like incontinence briefs in a wad and all this stuff. Let me tell you something, folks. I was watching InfoWars and I've read a couple articles on my day off today. And what I've heard is, you're right, Trump's not going to go after Clinton. He's going to have other people do it. And he's going to have the attorney general go after him, which Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, a lot of his picks they supposedly claim are racist and all this crap. Like Sam Nunberg was supposedly accused of being racist and all this stuff. And the Trump campaign, when he, like in 2015, said, okay, we're going to investigate it. And if he is, he's fired. If he said this stuff, he's gone. He's not going to have someone on his staff that's racist. But then again, Jeff Sessions is like 99.999% against cannabis and against medical marijuana of all kinds, even though Donald Trump has adamantly said that he would leave it up to the states to decide. But Jeff Sessions is like, he would go after every state where it's legal for medical, let alone, I mean, that's just that, you know, that's not even, you know, that's not even the states where it's legal for recreational. He'd go big time after him because he's anti that 1,000,000%. He doesn't believe it has any value. He's one of those people where it's a gateway drug. And it's funny because it can't be, because it's a Schedule I drug and you can get prescriptions that are Schedule II drugs that are more dangerous. You can get a Schedule II pain med that's basically one molecule away from heroin. Cocaine is legal. You can get cocaine prescribed to you. One of my friends worked in a pharmacy. When you take this ingredient, when you mix it together, it basically makes like a cocaine. And it's for pain. And it's very highly controlled and very highly given, rarely given out. But I just hope that's not the case. As you know, folks, and listen to the conversation, I wanted Trump to become president. I'm not going to blow smoke up his butt every time he does something. I'm not going to praise him every time he does something. He's not going to be perfect. You know, he's not going to be perfect. What is that old TV show? You take the good, you take the bad, and here you go, and there you have the facts of life. Yeah, you're going to take the good of Trump and some bad of Trump, and you're going to try to make it all work. You know, there's evidence that Mitt Romney might be getting the nomination for Secretary of State if and would he take it. And a lot of people believe, and I kind of feel like this, that he would be a very much John Kerry, where he'd be like, okay, I'm going seeing at these other nations' five-star hotels, having million-dollar dinners and dining with these people, and not really portraying a message of, okay, hey, Trump's in the White House, this is what we want to do and convey his message. We're not gonna sit down lightly and take the, you know, we're not gonna take it. Now, this is what we want to do, and this is how we're going to do it. You know, and you know, he's just going to, like, play like a potsy, like, oh, yeah, I'm here for Trump, and I'm just going to, like, it's sort of like if you're going to Florida to do training for, like, your business and your company, and you're basically just, I'm going to Florida for a vacay instead of really seriously being there for the training and learning. And hey, I'm getting dementia training, you know, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to take my knowledge and pass it on. You know, you're just like, woohoo, Florida. You know, and that's what some people think Romney would do. He would just kind of be that. We need someone that's going to take Trump's message and say, this is what we want. This is what he wants. Take it or leave it. Okay. We have cargo ships coming over here full of stuff, but we don't have any cargo ships leaving full of stuff. They're leaving empty. Or if there's a bunch of rejects and returns, here we go. This is the message I want to convey. You know, a lot of companies are tired of paying a tax to hold money in China and a tax to have money in here. Because they got their main offices in America and they got all the production in China, so they have money in two places and they're taxed twice. They don't want that. They want to bring the jobs back here, so they only get taxed once. Pardon me. But we need a Secretary of State that's gonna protect America and have a pair. We don't need another Hillary Clinton. We don't need people that, well, you know, we have to pass Obamacare to find out what's in it. People are fed up of that. They want to have people that are like an extension of Donald Trump. I'm not saying Mitt Romney's not going to be that extension of Donald Trump, but some people just wonder if that's what's going to happen. I mean, I hope that if Jeff Sessions does take the job of Attorney General, will he take it? Will he sit there and, like, go after states where it's medically legal and cannabis is legal and go after them and spend, waste money fighting these stupid wars? I hope not. Only time will tell. I mean, as we move forward with this, I heard today, I don't know if he's even going to do it, but I guess, who is it? Ben Carson has been offered the HUD job, if he wants to be like the director of HUD. I don't know if he's going to take it or not, but he's been offered it, and he said that he would consider a position if he was offered it in Trump's administration. Doesn't mean he's going to take it, but he has been offered that. And it's amazing because, I mean, as we kind of go forward with this, Obama says that, like, he has had a scandal-free administration and there's no scandals. You know, Hillary Clinton and all the emails when she was Secretary of State and the Benghazi and all these things. What do you mean there's no scandal? He's been scandal-free. Operation Fast and Furious, number one. Benghazi, number two. Number three, the IRS targeting conservative organizations. Number four, the DOJ seized Associated Press phone records as well as phone and email records from Fox News reporter James Rosen. Number five, NSA conducted mass surveillance against American citizens without warrants. Obama administration, number six, paid ransom to Iran for hostages and lied to the American people about it. Some people say it is, some people say it isn't. It's a scandal. Hillary's email scandal. Environmental Protection Agency poisoned the Colorado River. EPA also broke federal law by promoting a regulation. The GSA scandal. The Secret Service scandal. And on. I mean, there's probably more, but those are just some of the scandal-free stuff that Obama had. Yeah, he had a scandal-free administration. Yeah, okay, buddy. Oh, Lord, help me. But it's going into my, leading into my next topic, which is, does the DNC have a unified message as a Democratic Party? Do they have a unified message or unified, you know, like, what are they unifying under? What is their message? What do they want? What are they trying to accomplish? For the DNC chairman, Keith Ellis is a top pick for that. Howard Dean and also Martin O'Malley has been being considered for those positions, and they're all very, very, very far left people. I mean, Wesleyan University has actually come out, and he was on the president of Wesleyan University was on Fox News about an hour ago, and he couldn't defend. Well, it's a sanctuary city. What they're saying when they mean sanctuary city, so we can clarify for all my listeners out there, when they mean sanctuary city, they mean like, okay, if this student is in school, but let's say is papers expired, unless you've got like a warrant or something saying, yeah, whatever, you know, you can't, we're not gonna give you information about a student. You know, if you've got proof, hey, he's got a warrant and he's a mass murderer and you've got documentation, okay, they have no problem going after him from what he kind of said. You know, that, you know, I just see that there's a double standard there, because students are going to say, well, okay, well, if illegals can stay on campus, then, and it's more, from what I'm understanding, it's more with students. It's not like if I'm an illegal, I can go to campus and they're going to protect me. It's only if you're like a student, you know, and you may have issues getting paper, like let's say you've got like a green card to go to school for 2 years and you're going to stay for a third and you're having trouble getting the paperwork to get your, to go back to stay for your third year, they're going to, unless they've got probable cause and they got, you know, warrants and stuff, they're not going to issue any information about the person or where he is or whatever. And if he ends up being, you know, but they kind of hinted like, okay, if they're a mass murderer, okay, sure, yeah. Here he is. Yeah, if you got the documentation to prove that, hey, he's part of ISIS, then I think he it sounds like they want to try to cooperate when that, if that type of thing happens. But I think kids are going to get the mixed message. Well, if they're not, if an illegal can come here, then yeah, but he's trying, you know, then why do we have to abide by laws? And well, why is this case an illegal allowed to stay, but he's not allowed to stay? And I think it's going back and it's going to be a cluster. You need to say, okay, yes or no. You, if you're legal, you can't be here or not. You got to have yes or no. You can't have, well, it goes back to, and I relate a lot of my stuff to NASCAR. Well, I think it was Carl Edwards several years ago. They did the four screws to loosen up this oil can in case you need to put oil into it. That's the intent, because it makes it easier to get into this thing to put oil in the car. but at the same time, it makes the car have more downforce and they can go faster and get and all this. And it's like, well, if you loosen it, then everyone's going to loosen it because it's going to help them on the track. They're going to get better downforce. It's going to be a lot better for the car. Well, no, that's not our intent. Was just to make it easier to get into, so that during the race, if we have to get into that oil because we're having issues, and what if it's hard to get off? Well, here it's easier. Well, there's an advantage. There were teams that used to dent the car on purpose because they knew if they dented it here, it helped the car's downforce, and they caught on to that and they stopped it. You know, and you can't have the issue. You either have to have the screws and that gas thing, that oil cap, completely on. There can't be an intent in it. Well, the intent is this. Well, yeah, you can say your intent is this, but the intent is that's what you're saying so that you can get better downforce. You know, it's got to be, okay, if you're legal, if you got proof right now that you are in the process and you are getting, okay, I'm just waiting. I was only going to stay here 2 years, and I'm going to be here a third year now, just one more year, and I'm just waiting to get my paperwork back, and I'll have my green card extension for one more year. Then maybe. But if you're technically illegal, you're either going to keep everyone here in a sanctuary city or a sanctuary university, or you're going to deport them all. We can't have a, well, in his case, since he's a serial killer, yeah, we'll let you go after him. But since he's not a serial killer, you know, we're just going to let him harbor around. No, you got to draw the line somewhere. It's either they all go or none of them go. And what does that have? And that has nothing to do with immigrants. Because there was a guy that was interviewed and she goes, well, you know, well, most of Trump's family's not even from here. You know, Melania's not from here. This one's not from here, enough, not from here, and the person, and she goes, yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're here legally. They came to this country legally, and you didn't know what to say. So what you're saying is, well, then, there's a difference between coming across the Canadian border or the Mexican border or coming here via a plane and not having and not going back and staying here illegally and not being a citizen, and someone who's from Russia or whatever country and they do it legally and they get the paperwork and they wait in line and they do all the documentational stuff. Hey, there's a difference, folks. There's a difference. You know, Trump's people did it legally. His wife did it legally. I love Mexicans. Come here legally. I hate when I'm like, okay, police is here. What's going on now? Yeah, I'm looking for so-and-so. He's my dishwasher. No, he's not. I'm him. You know, but getting back to it, but do the Democrats have a unified message? It just seems like all they want to do is bash everything Trump says. Everything he plans on doing or distorting what he wants to do. They don't have a unified anything. And then Charlie Rangel was also on there a little bit ago, and he's just like, well, you know, we need to do the electrical college and this and that and all this. You know, he's trying to play the card. Well, technically, you know, she had the popular vote and this and that and all this, and we need to go back and... I don't think they have anything. I'm sorry. You know, we unified behind Obama by not vandalizing, not rioting. You know, we complained on Facebook a lot, but you know what? We're adults. We put on our incontinence briefs, and we said, okay. The difference between Trump and Obama is different. You weren't hearing that the Kenyan's national paper was saying our native-born son was born in Kenya, is now the leader of the free world. He was saying he was born in Hawaii, but when a Kenyan newspaper says their native-born son, Barack Hussein Obama, our Kenyan-born African son, is now the leader of the free world. Well, he can't be born in Kenya because that disqualifies him from being the president. Trump's not having that issue. Barack Obama was going to church for 22 years with a pastor that preached about killing whites and their babies. He was friends with Bill Ayers and Bill Doran, people that were involved with the Weather Underground, that tried to bomb buildings in the United States, anti-Americans. We didn't have that with Trump. Okay? There's a big difference, and we didn't go rioting and crying and complaining. But I don't think the DNC has a unified message. All they're trying to do is take, well, this guy that Trump's appointing, he's racist and da-da-da-da. There was no racist bone in Trump's body. He was never accused of anything except for maybe the university issue, where some people say the university, Trump University thing was a fraud. Whether that is, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't take it. I didn't use it. But they try to take anything he says. And I said this last week. I'm not going to blow smoke up Trump's butt every time he does something. There's things I'm not going to agree with him on. Being American. What could Trump do to make you say, hey, we were wrong. He's turning this country around. What would it take for you to say, hey, we were wrong. He was a decent president. Most liberals I know will never have anything good to say about any Republican, anybody. It doesn't matter. Donald Trump could come by and, okay, here's this number. Call this number up and you have use of my private jet anytime you want, anywhere you want to go. I'm going to be putting $20,000 every week in your bank account for life. They'd probably still complain. They'd take the money. But they complain. A Brooklyn man, Mohammed Rafiq Naji, 37 years old, they claim through court documents that he tried to go and... He is charged with traveling to Turkey and Yemen between March and September of last year in an effort to join the terror group ISIS. There were papers filed in Brooklyn court, and also they claim that they've been planning terror plots, especially on the Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade. And what they're going to do is they want to take a van and put explosives maybe in it and, you know, go down the street and ram and kill a bunch of people, you know, run over a bunch of people, and if you're going to get caught, hit a button and bang. You know, Al-Qaeda didn't have this as much, but ISIS supporters are pretty much willing to die for their cause. And if they get a rental van and something like that happens, okay, guess what? You're going to have to try to stop them because their intent, they're going to die no matter what, you know. And that's how it is. And they're getting harder to find because I'm just doing a hypothetical. Let's say I wanted to be a ISIS member. If I tried to join ISIS, I could sit there and I could build a bomb and I could go to the courthouse and set it off. There's a lot of these things are just people that have that belief and that ideology. And the only way they're finding out about it is they're going on social media and saying something. Which, thank you, news, for telling us that. Because that might be obvious, but now they may say, okay, don't talk about it, don't say it. If you're going to do it, get the stuff to make the bomb and do it and don't tell anyone. Because it's not a cell. It's a lot of these things are individual people. And it's going to be 10 times harder to fight. And it's scary. Because I guess they're still on high alert for the Macy's Day Parade. And they're telling people to keep due diligence. And it's going to be so hard because, I mean, you think about it, it can be done. I mean, how hard would it be to sit there and have like a drone with chemical weapons in there? I mean, you almost have to have someone, okay, we're going to take criminals and put you in when you're in a jail cell, we want you to come up with any, since all you have time to do is sit there and think, just like you think about, how could I get out of this jail cell? How could I do this? How could I break out of prison? Use that to what could you possibly do to get out of, just think about it. What can you do to try to figure out what they could do? Okay, the drone and chemical weapons they could do. What else? Because, you know, how easy, I mean, running a car would be, like a truck would be easy. I mean, and one of those people, and they're the point that, okay, if they see a checkpoint, okay, they're going to check bags, and I got a bomb in my bag, okay, I'll just get close to this thing, and I'll detonate it, because I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well go for the purpose. I mean, there's going to be... if you could imagine it, they'll probably try to do it. It's not a simple, okay, we got a whole group that's planning this. A lot of these terror plots are finding out of just one person. You know, what he's going to do is he's going to go down to this part of New York City and he's going to hand out balloons to kids, but inside there's anthrax, and when they break, it's going to spread, and bam, everyone's going to, and by the time they find out what's happened, that guy is long gone, and you've infected thousands of people. If you could imagine it, they'll probably try to come up with it. You know, these people, this is a partial life to them. They're going to heaven. You know, them dying is like, okay, now I'm going to go get 40 redheaded virgins, and, you know. It's one of those things that I can't fathom it. And we got to think outside the box. And that's what I guess a lot of people are saying, you know. It's really inexpensive to do the van thing. It's not expensive stuff. I'm just saying. And it's scary. Because it's coming to... Because I could see something happen on the Macy's Day Parade. And you got to do your due diligence. Because it's not like, oh no, we might get found out. If they're going to get found out and they've already got it wired, you might find out that they sit there and go, okay, detonate it. Okay, they found us out. You know, because they're going to sit there and check our bags or whatever the heck. You got to do diligence if you're going to be out there at that Macy's Day Parade. Any of my New York listeners. Don't be afraid to be out there. They want us to be afraid and stay home. Don't. Live your life. But be due diligence and think. I'm going to move on now because actually the Gold Star family who was booed exiting an American Airlines flight got some good news somewhat. The airline has come out with a statement. I guess what we're finding out about this now is I guess they were because of their husband being, because their son or whatever being killed, and he was on the plane, they were allowed to deboard before anybody else. And I guess some people in first class that pay a lot of money and all this stuff and fly all the time, they were pissy and they booed. sick bastards. And American Airlines said, you know, we don't condone this. We are honored to have any military on our planes, dead or alive. And we condone this, and we are sorry that the family had to go through this, and we will do our best to ensure that that never happens again. And, you know, and they've actually, I've heard that someone said that they're possibly looking into, okay, if you're going to do this, if you're going to boo, if something like this goes on and they find out who you are, they'll take your privilege. They'll make sure you don't fly with United or American or whatever the airline is. And I think that's something that needs to be done. I mean, that's just wrong. I got first class, and because someone died fighting for my freedom, you know, I got a boo. Where, I don't understand this country. I was taught to respect my military. I mean, you see a guy with a World War II hat on, that guy is more badass than you'll ever know. That's why when I'm at a restaurant, I have no problem buying a dinner for when I'm... I went out with Lisa and a bunch of them and Sonya and stuff, and there was a guy sitting there at the table. I said, I don't know who that guy is back there. Yeah, can you get his ticket for me? I want to pay for it. And I did it. I don't brag that I did it. That's just what I do. That's just the man I am. I can't imagine what they've been through. You know, where's... You know, what I want to do is I want to give all these vets the same privileges that these college kids are getting. Where's the homeless vet's therapy dog? Where's his blanket? Where's his cocoa? Where's his safe space to vent? Where is that? That's what I want to know.
I can't take it anymore.
Okay. Ask how many college kids that are crying because Hillary Clinton won. How many of them have the 1,000-yard stare? I doubt very many at all. I was playing paintball, and I thought no one could see me. Bam, right in my mask, I got hit. If it was a bull, I'd have been killed. I can't imagine being a gunner with a 50 cal on top of a Humvee. I couldn't imagine. Free healthcare for the vets, that's the least they deserve. They should be able to go to any hospital and get whatever treatment they want. That's the America I remember. And I think that's the America Trump wants to try to bring back. He's not going to be perfect. No one is. You know, like my wife kind of brings me, she grounds me a lot. That's why I love her. Because I was talking to the guy at McGuire, I said, you know, I was talking to BJ. I'm like, well, I have a question. Because like when I was building this guy made one. And everyone said, man, why aren't you getting shocked? Why aren't you having all kinds of problems with this? You didn't ground the bridge. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I'm not having a problem with it. And BJ said the same thing. You should have all kinds of problems. If you're not getting a little jolt, you should be having major sound issues. So I had three nicks in it, because when I looked up the schematics, it's all of them said in the schematic to ground the bridge. So I drilled a hole to ground the bridge. And when I did that, I put nicks in it, and I was almost about to lose it. I was pissed at myself. And of course, my wife, in her infinite wisdom, she grounded me. She goes, well, was Merle Teal perfect? I said, not even close. Who was perfect? I'm like, well, you know, basically, Jesus, the only perfect person. He goes, exactly. Merle Teal is not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. This guitar is amazing, but it's not going to be perfect. And if this is something in memory of Merle, it's a representation of who he is, because you're not perfect and neither was he. And there's going to be imperfections in this. And that's when I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Now it's like, now those Knicks are like, I love them. Now it's like, that's cool. Because, I mean, it's the old Mighty Ducks. Well, a quarter of an inch, Charlie, a quarter of an inch would have been in the goal. Well, yeah, but a quarter of an inch the other way and the puck would have totally missed. You know, everyone thinks about what, oh, just a 2 inches and that ball would have went in the goal and it would have scored from the corner kick. Well, yeah, but 2 inches the other way and you'd have totally missed. You know, oh, 2 inches, I hit the upright, but 2 inches down and it would have went in the goal because the keeper wouldn't have been able to get up high enough to get it. Well, yeah, but 2 inches, it would have totally missed the upright and it would have went. Remember, folks, Trump isn't going to be perfect, and that's what I'm getting at with this. But I do see signs of good luck, you know. The New York Stock Exchange closed above 1900 today for the first time in history. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, Russell 2000, the S&P 500, they're all up. The NASDAQ Composite is up. They're all doing great. I just hope it's not everything goes really up and great, and then all of a sudden I hope there's not like a crash. But of course they blame that all on Trump, even if it was his first day in office, because you know, he's president now. Might as well just say he's president because Obama ain't doing anything. Or should I say hasn't done anything, really. Like they said, a lot of these things that Trump has to do, it's going to leave Obama with no legacy. You know, like I try to tell some of my very liberal friends, I'm like, I'm an American first, folks. I want to, you know, I will chant America. I just, like I've said this a million times, it just scared me the night that Obama became president and when they were in Chicago and everyone's chanting, Obama, Obama. My mom even said the same thing. She goes, it just reminds me of like those dictators when they're like chanting, you know, like Kim Jong-un, you know, like praising him. And it's like, you know, it's not about Obama. It's not about Trump. It's about America. And you got to put God first. I want to thank you all. I got about just under 11 minutes left in the program. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are, especially my wife who's listening from Albion with her mom and dad. So thank you for tuning in. She's my inspiration because I'll even ask her because there were some topics I wanted to talk about. She's like, I wouldn't do it. I'm like, oh, come on. And I found out I made the right choice, you know, so. Thank you so much, dear. And, you know, I want to get into this because this is something that drives me nuts. I want to get into the Premier League right now. And I don't know if you've heard this. I want to get into some American football because I guess Notre Dame had some ineligible players. And I guess the 2012 and 13, they have to forfeit every win. I wonder, how does that happen? Do they just sit there and like, congratulations, you won. So like if you won like the national championship and because of an ineligible player, you have to give it back. Do they just go to the other school like 4 years later? Congratulations. Here's your national championship ring. Yeah. Because they forfeited. I mean, like with Lance Armstrong, do they go up to the person that was in second place? Well, you won the Tour de France. Here you go. Here's your consolation prize. I don't know how that works. But I guess, and I'm wondering if, because of that, if they're going to fire him now. Because that's huge. I'm going to get into more about that when I'm going to read more into that. But just a programming update, folks. Thursday, I'll be having Thanksgiving with my parents. So I will not be doing a conversation, just in case. You know, and I'll be back on Tuesday like normal. But I want to have evening with my mom and dad and my sister and stuff, but it's just crazy. The Premier League is just getting nuts because it's been, I think it was like 7 or 9 years, I forget which it is, since Arsenal side has scored against the Mourinho side. And we were doing incredible. With 69 minutes in, Juan Mata scores. 68th minute, he scores. And it's incredible. And in the 69th minute, he gets a celebration penalty and they give him a yellow card and all this. And we are looking good. Arsenal played horrible. They haven't had one shot on goal until the 89th minute when Olivier Giroud scored a header and tied it up to draw a level. We needed 3 points out of it. We're in sixth at 19. We are 5 behind the Tottenham Hotspurs. And we're 9 behind Chelsea. It's just crazy. I think he's going to have to start showing some results. Or something's going to happen. I think, honestly, by January, if we're still in like 6th or 7th, they're going to do something with Mourinho. I really believe that. And rightly so. I'm like, yes, we scored. Yes, Arsenal hasn't done anything. We've had several shots on goal, but they were blocked and stuff. And I'm like, yes, we got shots on goal. This is great. You know, they get one shot on goal and they score. I don't get it. But I mean, I honestly think, you know, we're looking better. I think we got some injuries that we got to overcome, but we're coming back. I think we got some, we're getting some unity and we're putting stuff together. So, and they're learning to play together, I think. I think by like January, if we're not drastically improving, they might do some. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. You know, because like I said, when Louis van Gaal won the FA Cup, which was the first piece of hardware Alex Ferguson got in 1990, I felt his fate was already decided, one way or the other, good or bad. And we all know what happened there. But I just want to see. I'm a supporter of the team no matter what. If we win, lose, or draw, I'm still going to watch the games. I don't care. It's not like, okay, our team stinks, so I'm not going to watch them. But, you know. And got about 5 minutes left in the program, and I want to touch on this because history was made at Homestead Miami Speedway on Sunday as Jimmy Johnson became only the third person to have 7 championships with the King, Richard Petty, and Earnhardt Sr. Some argue he should have an 8th because, like, in 2004, he won more races than anybody, and Kurt Busch won the championship, and that's when they started to go back. It mainly started with Matt Kenseth, when Kenseth didn't win a race in 2003 and ended up with the title, and they said, you know, what do we do? You know, how do we, you know, where do we put the points value? And like I've said before, really quickly, you know, I think you should get like 50 points, let's say, for winning a race. And then depending, and you should get points based on how many laps you lead. So if you lead 199 laps, you should get points for leading those 199 laps. But since you don't win, you don't get that bonus. But if you lead, let's say, like 30 laps, you should get a certain amount of points for leading the 30 laps. And if you win the race in the end, you get the bonus. You get whatever you get for winning the race. So there should be a bonus for winning the race, and you should get points based on how many laps you lead. But to me, I'm a big Junior fan. He's not my favorite. I will say that. I give him crap all the time. But I will say this. He is, I hate to say this, but I honestly think he is one of the greatest drivers we've ever had in NASCAR. And I heard this. I don't know if this is true or when they did this, but there's something about why they always picked the last stall on the pit lane, because I guess they can get over the wall like a second or a half, just a half second or a second faster, because like anywhere else, they could tell if they went over the wall too soon, and they found out that they can get over the wall like a second or two sooner, and no one noticed that they were over the wall. Where if they did what they did in any of the pit stalls, they'd be seen. They would be able to tell, and they would get penalized for it. And they found out, and I think they figured out how they can make sure that they can't do that. But that's why I guess they used to be in the last pit stall. The more power to them, you know. But here's my point, though. It doesn't matter what lap. If he's down 10 laps, he wants to be in front of that car. He wants to be ahead of that car in front of him, no matter what. 10 laps down, it don't matter. He wants to get that car fixed and get back out there. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of Dale Sr., where he just wants to, he doesn't want to, he wants to finish that race. He wants to be as high up on the pole as possible. If he can be third, if he can get to third, great. You know, he wants to be in front of that car. He wants to be ahead of that car in front of him, no matter what lap it is. And, you know, that's what it takes. He never gives up. It doesn't matter. You know, they had a body modification that wasn't approved. So he had to start in the back of the field, and he overcame all kinds of obstacles. Okay, you got to understand something. Tony Stewart's gone this year. Jeff Gordon's already gone. He is like a new follower. There's not much in NASCAR that people, there's not like a nation anymore. When Dale Sr. died, everyone thought Junior and run with it. And I thought, okay, yeah, he might be his dad. He's got two Busch Series championships, the Xfinity Series now, but it was Busch back then. Here we go. He's going to take it and he might do something. And I said, when he went to Hendrix, he goes, I need to go to a team that I can contend for championships. And I said, this will define it. If he is successful, it's the equipment and where he was because of him. And the 1 year, it was, I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Mark Martin, 1, 2, 3. And then he was like 27th, the lowest placed finisher of any Hendrick Motorsports. And I knew it was him, not his equipment. And he's never lived up to the name, but he's a decent driver. I mean, if it wasn't for his name, Earnhardt, I don't think he'd be as big as he is. Not putting him down or anything. It's just how I feel, you know. And I just think it's the greatest thing for the sport to have Jimmy Johnson win that championship. So kudos to him. And with a firm alliance, mutually pleasure each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.